We're going to carry on with our series of understanding what it means to be called. And this morning we're going to take up two texts actually, and they're written in a way that needs to be thought through very carefully. They are actually the same words, but they were arranged differently. And from that, we understand and we catch glimpses of truth that are really, really are astonishing and be very, very uplifting. And that's what we're going to try and understand and appreciate. Okay? Well, let's begin in prayer together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to understand what it means for us to be called, truly called, and to understand that we can appreciate it at an even deeper level. We pray for your grace, your mercy, your wisdom to fathom this word that we could study this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, let's take a look at the two texts first. And one is from Galatians chapter 1. Right, let's take a look at Galatians 1. And then we see this word in verse 15. It may not seem very, very significant, but it is. Let's take a look at this. Okay, 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. But this is interesting, 15 and 16. Okay, now watch these two words. God who separated me and then called me. Right? Now let's look at Romans chapter 1. And in verse 1, same words, now reversed. Can you see this? Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, is there, the words are the same. How do we understand the different ways in which Paul describe separation, calling, separation? Is there a real difference? Well, let's take a look. Okay? So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, 16. Okay? Well, let's take a look at this verse and then we see this. Now, he talked about separation. And those who medical doctors who will probably understand this far better than most of us, of how at childbirth a child is literally separated from the mother's womb. Except that this is now God who separated a person, a baby, from the mother's womb. Now that, to me, is absolutely fascinating. What is it all about? Well, this is an important word simply because of the fact that, you see, Galatians was written as a testimony. Galatians was written as a defense. People were questioning, how is it that Paul became an apostle when once upon a time, he was persecuting the Christians and the church. So Paul's defense was, let me explain this to you. Number one, it's not because I'm good, it pleased God. Right? This God is the one who separated me from my mother's womb. Now that is an amazing thought. Well, let's take a look. This text is actually based on the idea of the book of Jeremiah, So the theology of this is actually from Jeremiah chapter 1. Okay, so we need to understand this because otherwise it's very difficult to comprehend this text. Okay, this is what God said to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I think that is an amazing thought. Right? So how tall we are, how we actually look, what we will become, God said, I already formed you. And you know what? I knew you. In fact, before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This is actually will cover all the idea of the word separated. Separated literally means designated. You are set apart. You are going to do this. And you are going to accomplish it because it was designed that way. This is Paul's understanding of his separation. So that is amazing. To all the young people who are born and you are struggling with your life, who am I? What should I study? What do I want to become? Begin here. God separated you. And that is an amazing, complex thought. It is profound in every sense of the word. Sometimes we look at our life, how is it that our life is what it is? Why are some inclined that way? Why are some more successful in another way? Why are some gifted in some other ways? The basis of it all is found in this one word called separated. God knows all about you. God formed you. God made you. God ordained you. God separated you for this task. That is an amazing thing. That's why we succeed the way we do. Because we are fulfilling what God designed us to become. That's how God made us to be. We are separated for what that task on earth really is. That is truly profound. Right? Now, what God did not set you apart to do? Okay? One, He did not set you apart to be a couch potato. He did not set you apart to waste your life. He did not set you apart to waste your time. He set you apart, always designed for a very special purpose. Now, in Japan, there is somebody borrowed a book from me many years ago, and it never came back. I don't know who that person is. I loaned up. It was a book of all kinds of crazy inventions. You know, it's amazing. For example, you feel very hot, you can turn on an umbrella, and there's a fan inside it as well. And we have all kinds of crazy inventions, and most of those things will never go into mass production because it's really more designed for that one single person's use. Now, those things are a little bit, a bit nonsensical. It just looks good on paper or in pictures, but in reality, it's probably not going to work. And it never got off ground, most of them. See, when God invents, He doesn't invent like that. When God designs, He doesn't design like that. He designed us with your personality, with the giftedness, with an inclination, with the ability, and together with it, His grace and His blessings, and you will succeed. And I hope that this encourages all young people. Okay? This is important. What about us who are older? Look back. God designed our church for what it is. And we are fulfilling what He designed us to do. Separated for this cause. That, to me, is absolutely profound. Now, this talks about how God designed things, how God designated things, how God planned things. But between His design and the actual outcome not the same. Right? We need the next word, and that is the word called. Right? So this is a glimpse of what God does long before we're even born. Now, the next thing is to put it into effect. How do I make this come to pass? And that requires the word call. Now, let us say that Paul was designed to be a brilliant scholar. God gave him a superior mind. God enabled him to understand complex truths. He really has a philosophical mind. But he was wrongly using it. His mind was not used in the way it was meant to. The only way to redeem him is to call him. Saul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? And that stopped him in his tracks. And he asked, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And it was then that Jesus began to reveal himself. So the word calling has the idea of his redemption. His idea, Saul or Paul later on, I've designed you to be this. I am going to reveal myself to you. And I'm going to tell you what you can do. I'm going to tell you what you can accomplish. Now, go ahead and do it. Now, that is amazing. So that's why we speak about calling. Young people, you are called too, as well. Called to understand what God can reveal to you. What you can become in the future. What you can do outstandingly. What you can do to succeed significantly in your life. And the word is called. So now we have a design separated, and now we have a call to effect what God has planned. So in 1:15, Galatians, he explains his concept. I was separated according to God's goodness, his pleasure, and then I was called. Only by his grace, because Paul blew it. He could not have done anything at all significant unless God called him. Okay, now that was how he reflected on his life. Okay, now we go to Romans 1. Right, so we take a look at Romans 1, and now Paul's response, as he reflects, Romans is written a bit later than Galatians. Galatians was probably the first epistle that Paul wrote. And so you see him with tremendous energy, with tremendous sense of conviction, and the words he uses, they are very, very strong and they are very, very powerful. But in Romans, now we're seeing a more mature man with more mature heart and mind and spirit, and now he reflects. And there he says, I was called. So separated and called. Now he explains this. Right? What was I called to be? I was now called to be an apostle. So we extend the idea. Right? So Romans 1, the idea of calling is now explained and extended a little bit more. And that is pretty amazing. Right? So we have separated in the first place from God's design. Long before a person is born, God separated you for a particular reason, for a particular cause. Then what he will do is he will call you to appreciate salvation, to know Jesus first. Now, the next step is same idea of calling, but this time extended it. Not just call to salvation, but call to a special, particular task that God has given to you. And you, only you can fulfill that. I think that's important. And all of us have that. So here is it, all young people. Don't throw your life away. Discover what God called you to do. Discover what God wants you to attempt. And you have your whole life ahead of you to discover that God has called you to a very noble thing. And that is called, and this calling, the second, Romans 1:1, is now a very specific area of ministry, a specific thing you want to do with your life. So when we were children in primary school, what's your favorite subject? I ask children, and they always tell me, recess. We all understand that. Who doesn't like recess, except for those of us who get penalized by nasty teachers? And some teachers are really nasty. Every time recess is sadistic, recess is forfeited. That is how some teachers can be really nasty. And so I happen to be in that class. They're always, I have more times in class during recess than most other classes. And everyone will walk by and ask, look past the class, and we just wave. Have a good time. You know, we never get a chance to fulfill all those. We didn't understand these things when we were younger. But then we grow a little older and we come to terms. You know what? God is a wonderful Savior. He's given a wonderful salvation. And the moment you understand salvation, you embrace Jesus as your Savior, suddenly a whole new vista opens up. What do I do with this new life? What do I want to do with this life that God has given? And then you begin to explore, what can I do? What do I want to do? And that is where we go into specifics. Sometimes those specifics will not start at a young age. It very often starts when you are a little older. You know how it is with young people? You tell people, you know, should live for God, and the young person says, now, give me time. Okay, I need to study. Okay, you study. Then after that, would you like to think about the Lord now? Well, you know, I've got to establish my career. So we wait for a civil. Now you establish career. What? When? Oh, I'm not going to get married first. Okay, now I've got to get married. Then I must have children first. But children take up a lot of time. So now 20, 30 years have passed by. You are now near retirement. What do you want to do? I want to serve the Lord, but I'm sick, you know. When are we going to ever serve the Lord if we're going to think that way? It's far more exciting for us to understand that God has first separated you. You lost your way somehow. God calls you. This is the path I want you to walk on. Walk on. There is a specific task that God has called you to do, and you are specifically suited for that particular task. Whatever the task may be. To me, that is an exciting way to live. That's why he called about, first, I am separated with reference to design. Next, I'm called with reference to salvation. Now, I'm called with reference to service. And now, specifically, I am going to be made an apostle. Now, it is not everybody who will then be authorized or be given such authority and power and ministry as the Apostle Paul. And that is really, really special. The problem is now, what do we do? What do we do with a calling like that? I go to an ENT from time to time, and there was this... This ENT doctor that I go to, and inside his clinic, there is a book which is a testimony of a surgeon. It was an interesting testimony. It was written by a Christian, but he was saying how he felt when he became a surgeon. He said, you know, when you become a surgeon, you almost always have a touch of arrogance. Wow. Because you feel you are the best. You feel that there is no one better. It's almost a touch of arrogance. So every time you do surgery, that part of it comes out. And that was interesting, a confession from a person. He says, later on, I came to talk about faith in God. My whole perspective changed. It was no longer a sense of arrogance. I can do this. I can do it well. It was now, what has God called me to do? In a sense of being a servant of God, the sense of being of fulfilling what God has asked him to do became the predominant feature in his life. This is what Paul felt when he says, Paul, first and foremost, a born servant of Jesus Christ. Looks backward in his life, you begin to realize, actually, I was separated for this. Looking back and saying, you know, this is what I was, and I was called unto salvation. Looking back again further, and I begin to realize that I'm called to be an apostle. What's my response to all that? A bond servant of Jesus Christ. Now that is an amazing heart and spirit that develops over time. It takes maturity of faith. It takes humility, because by this time, Paul had established a number of churches. Paul had done many, many things that really was outstanding in any era. To found a church is not easy. To found church after church after church, that is astonishing. To write one epistle is not... Jude wrote one epistle. Now, Paul wrote numerous epistles, and Peter had to admit, Paul has written many hard things. Even Peter struggled with the things that Paul wrote. Understandably, because God had separated him, called him, gifted him in many ways, and this is what he became. That he had learned one thing. I am only a born servant of Jesus Christ. So then we go on for the fourth part. So separated, call, separated. What is that special part of it all now? The separation to the gospel of God. And this became a very, very special area of expertise where Paul was concerned. He became a master theologian. He became a person who really knew his theology, knew the scriptures, and he understood the gospel of God in a way that very few people have comprehended. So now we have extended even further. You see, people who are separated to things like theology, people who are separated to become a theologian, literally, it's almost a class of its own. Anybody can be a servant of God. Anybody can serve as in a humble way. Very few have a calling and separated to this particular caste of understanding the gospel of God. You see, the gospel of God is a complex doctrine. And it covers many, 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 many aspects. So Paul began to realize what his calling was, what God had called him to do. He was going to become a teacher. He was going to become a writer. He was going to become a defender. He's going to be a person who is going to become what we call an exegete. He will explain the gospel in many, many complex forms that nobody else could. Take, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How do they explain the gospel? Through illustrations. Through what Jesus said. But they never fully explain what Jesus meant, though they recorded what Jesus said. And you need a person like Paul who understands he was separated by God from the beginning, designed, called to salvation, called to serve God as an apostle, and then now separated to a task that very few people actually could master. Matthew can write methodically all the teachings of Jesus. Mark can do a similar thing, although his was just more in terms of what Jesus did. Luke tried to apply everything that was said. John was more philosophical, but nobody was a master theologian like Paul was. This part of separation is not an easy thing to understand or to apply. You know, it's really, really difficult. It will take time, it will take years, it will take literally decades to prove that you are actually separated for this particular task of the gospel of God. And Paul singularly, outstandingly fulfilled, separated, called, separated. That's why you see him able to write things like that. See, we read a thing, it's the same. No, it's not. To a master theologian, he will distinguish between separation and call. A master theologian will be able to say call and separated, and he will have different meanings for all of them. Well, that is how he understood and expressed it all for himself and for others. Now, how does this apply to us? What does it mean to us? How does it actually apply to us in our life today? Right? When you say, well, you know, our favorite excuse is we're not like Paul. Favorite excuse, well, I don't have a good mind. And our excuse, I am not a theologian. It's all philosophical, and philosophy puts me to sleep. Well, that's how we excuse ourselves, and I want to challenge us, don't. God gave to us life. And that life was never meant to be wasted. God gave us a life that we ought to try and fathom. Why did God give me this life for? Look backwards. If you ask your parents, who separated me? They will give you the name of your gynae. Why? What did the gynae do? To the gynae, you're just another baby. And you know, the first slap of your whole life came so that your baby would cry, whack. And that's it. What else can they tell you? Not much. And parents, they just spoil their children. Can I challenge you? Teach them that God has given them a special place in life. God has given them something wonderful. They are special. Everyone in that sense who believes in the Lord is a gifted individual. The only problem is we've not sought to understand that you are indeed separated from birth for this. It's not just to Jeremiah and to Paul. The challenge is to understand this doctrine as true for all. And if we fail to find our way, chances are we've not understood this as an essential doctrine, number one. Two, maybe the problem is we've gone astray, we've entered into the world, we like the sin problem, and you know what? We never find God real in our life. So the first call, separated call, is to call to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior first. And once He reveals Himself to you, He will also teach you why you were created. You were not created to take up space. You were not created just to please your parents. Sometimes your parents are not pleased, except they don't dare to tell you. They're not pleased when you spend all your time ignoring them, playing on your phone. They're not pleased when you overeat. They're not pleased when you are lazy. They're not tell you. See, I always say, I'm a pastor, I will tell you what the parents dare not to tell you. But we must understand this is our calling. The gospel is to be declared in many ways so that you may come to salvation. Now, once you come to true salvation, watch for the next thing. God will call you to give you your place in His kingdom. He will give you a special place that you can serve Him in His kingdom. A lot of people have not understood that. You could be an inspiration. You could be an encouragement. You can be a supporter. You can do things that only uniquely you can do. Otherwise, it cannot be done. I think this is something that we really want to thank God for. Right? So when we went over to Myanmar and we were able to sponsor a very big Bible camp, Bible conference for them. Now, we had no money to go and sponsor the Bible conference, but Bethany could. You see how it works? You see, we are just servants, we're just instruments. Well, came a man and he said, Pastor, can I ask you to help me? See, my wife had cancer and she had 2 surgeries. You know, this is our funds, it's all wiped out. We don't even have enough rice. Well, how can we help them? Well, Bethany could. Bethany did. You see, that's what we mean. All of us have our special areas of contribution towards the Lord's work. I think that would be something we want to seriously consider, and that would be wonderful. But some of us are called to be teachers of God's word. To me, to us all, that is a very special privilege. To be separated to the gospel of God. And there we keep on preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, explaining the gospel, illustrating what the gospel can be in our own life. What a privilege it is to be separated, to be called, to be called, to be separated. And you know what? It applies not only to Jeremiah, not only to Paul, it can apply to all of us here. We look at celebrating 46 years of ministry. What do we celebrate? Many things. We celebrate the faith that we have. We celebrate the people that we have become. We celebrate the things that God has allowed us to attempt and to achieve all these years. And so our ministry goes all the way everywhere else. The man from Kenya wrote to me, he says, Pastor, you gave us funds to plant maize. And maize is a very heavy crop. Unfortunately, we will have no harvest because there has been no rain. So I was asking, what are the needs? What do we need to do now? He says, Pastor, our people will starve until next February. You see, you don't have to starve. Tell me the needs. And Bethany will respond. That's what we are, isn't it? We are separated to do this. We are called to do this, self-salvation. We are called to do a specific area of ministry. And we can be separated, not just to the gospel of God for some of us, but to serve the Lord in whatever capacity we can. And thus, we also enter into what Paul taught. Separated, call. Call, separated. And this is our joy and our privilege of being called to be servants of God. Ponder this thought as we prepare for communion.